You're alive.
All right, we want to praise the Lord on this wet Wednesday night, December the 14th, last month of the year, middle of the month. Another year done flown by, and we want to make a couple announcements real quick. We're going to have a get-together at the church this Saturday. I think it's going to be at 11 o'clock. I'm not 100% sure on the time. I'm just going to come a little early to make sure I am here. Going to try to put together some food baskets. Try to reach out, help those that we can help do what we can do. I think a church ministry is probably threefold. One is ministering from the Word of God. And the others ministering to each other.
Yeah.
And then last of all, ministering to others that aren't in the church, that the manifold love of God might be shown abroad. Amen.
That's right.
I noticed this week they signed the Marriage Equality Act. Of course, had to have a drag queen in the White House. And of course, had to turn the White House rainbow colored one more time.
Oh, God.
And I'm not real happy about it, but I'll tell you one thing I am happy about. That's the fact this is not my home.
Amen.
And the fact that God's in charge, and He's got this thing. I don't have to worry about it. He said, let not my heart be troubled.
Yes.
He's got this, and He's completely aware of all the things going on down here.
Right.
And I'll just say this, the people down here better be aware of the fact, like our lesson brings out tonight, that He's going to come back. And we're in the book of Acts now. We finished up the book of Job. I really enjoyed teaching out of the book of Job, just dripping with things that we could use in this day and time that we're living in. Just a lot of trouble on every side, a lot of problems. But God's bigger than any problem.
Yeah, that's right.
And a very present help in time of trouble. But we're starting tonight out of the book of Acts. We want to have a word of prayer. We're probably not going to sing no songs tonight. I'm not much of a singer anyway. But we're just going to have a word of prayer and go into this lesson.
Yes.
Father, we thank You to be able to be here tonight. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon our efforts. We want to be a blessing. And Lord, we pray for our people that are sick.
Yes,
a lot of them, Lord, still struggling. And Lord, we're not superhumans. We're just, Lord, just frail human beings.
Yes.
Your Word says in Psalm 39, verse 4, Lord, help us to know how frail we are. And sometimes, Lord, it's pretty obvious. We can see that we need You, Lord. And I pray for these that are sick. I
yes.
pray for Denny and Sue. I pray for James and Patty. Lord, I pray for Vonnie. I pray for her sister, Patty. I pray for her brother, Mark, and his wife, Kay. I pray, Lord, Father, for Kay's sister.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray for Lily and for Lake and for River. We pray about that unspoken request that Kay mentioned to us, Lord. We pray about that. And I pray, Lord Father, for Vonnie's son, Billy. I pray, Lord Father, for Denise, Patty's daughter.
Yes.
Lord, we pray, dear Father, tonight for Carol, for Larry. We pray, dear Lord, tonight for Serenity and Leroy. Lord, we pray for Tammy. Still, I think, got strep throat. We
yeah.
pray for her and
yeah,
Danny.
Lord.
Pray, Lord Father, for Thomas, for Al, Abby, and for Landon. Lord, we pray, Lord God, tonight for Sharon, our piano player. Not only been sick, but Lord, she fell and bruised her side. We pray for her. Pray for Sybil. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for Ronnie Lindsay, Brother Patrick's dad. Pray for him.
Yeah.
Lord, he's trying to recover from where he's been in the hospital. Pray to get him back on his feet, get him going. We pray for Sister Joanne. Lord, we pray for Sister Rita, her husband Joe. Pray for their son, Eric. Lord, we just pray for all of these that are sick. Pray for Jerry and Carolyn. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for these that haven't been here in a while. We pray for Miranda, Mark, Caden, and Davian. We pray, Lord Father, for James and Star, James Jr. We love them. We miss them. Pray for Jordan, Casey. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for Brother Mitchell. Pray for him. Pray for Phyllis, still struggling, Lord, with passing out. We pray for her. Pray for Brother Mitchell. I think he's got the stomach virus. Pray for his sister, Bessie. Lord, we try and help her find a place of residence. Pray you'll help in that. And Lord, we probably left some out. We pray for all those, Lord, been struggling with sickness. Lord, just pray, Lord, you're the Lord God to heal us. Pray you help us, Lord, to get on, Lord, better circumstances. A lot of runny noses, a lot of stomach viruses, a lot of COVID, a lot of problems, Lord, these little old frail bodies suffering from. And bless our teaching tonight. We thank you and praise you. Help our country, Lord. I'm concerned about this country. Lord, they're calling evil good. They're calling good evil. Just like your word says.
Yes.
And Lord, that great falling away. Lord, I hate to see it. And I hate to see, Lord, it getting worse and worse under the end. But we're starting to see some of that, Lord. Lord, the homosexuals have not just come out of the closet, but Lord, they've moved into the classrooms of our country. They've moved into the libraries. They've invaded Disneyland. They've invaded, Lord, Sesame Street. Just seem like, Lord, no shame. Lord, their motive, Lord, is not right. And we pray, God, you'll get them saved. Pray you'll help them understand the great love of God that's long-suffering to them, Lord. You're forbearing and long-suffering their wickedness. And I pray they'd repent with a Nineveh-type repentance. And I pray they'd all get saved. And help our young people, Lord. Help them not to be seduced. Help them not to be subjected, Lord, to this exploitation of sexuality and gender confusion. Help our children, we pray. And bless this lesson tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we're in the book of Acts tonight, wrote by Luke. One thing I like about this, what we're going to be teaching from tonight, it records the ascension and the promised return of the Lord Jesus. And the events in the Acts, they cover a period of about 32 years. And it says here that it's in 33 A.D. I was looking at some of the notes up here and said that it might actually be about 65 A.D. I don't know. We're just going to go with the flow here. It says, Luke doing the writing here, the former treaty have I made, O Theopius, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And I've been corresponding with some guys on the internet. And they're causing their own demise. They're not open to the Word of God. They don't put any stock in the Word of God. They think it's just mythology. They think it's the words of men. And just trying to correspond with them, it's kind of discouraging. Just tell them, you know, you're scoffing today, you're making fun today, but there'll be a day you'll be on your deathbed and you'll want somebody to give you some hope.
Yeah.
You'll want somebody to tell you that God still loves you.
That's right.
And a lot of these are young guys, I can tell by the way they respond, and some of them are older, but they're contrary to this word, and I'm glad God gave this word. And what we're teaching about tonight, Luke here says, he's writing, O Theopius, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. You know, One of them guys said, you know, what's the big deal? He said a lot of people died in Jesus' time. A lot of them died the same way. I said, yeah, but he got up.
Yeah, he did.
And that makes a big difference.
Yes, it does.
And not only to get up, but Jesus here, he's giving commandments to his apostles whom he had chosen.
Yeah.
To whom he also showed himself alive. They said, prove it. I said, well, he showed himself to Peter, to the 12,
right.
500 one time. And Paul said, last of all, he has seen of me. And I said, even greater than that. I said, I remember the day when he took his rightful place upon the throne of my heart. And I knew the Lord from that day on personally.
That's right.
And I said, the reason you're questioning it, the reason you're contrary and struggling to believe is because you've not opened your heart to him, but to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. You know, this Bible's been attacked.
Oh yeah.
It's been, through the greatest scrutiny of any book that's ever been printed, and even now you can still buy a copy of the Word of God for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to a man on the radio today, and he was talking about taking books into the library. Pretty smart man. He said, is it okay if I bring a book into the library? It's been banned. They said, yeah, it'd be all right. He said, this one's been banned more than any book in the world. They said, what is it? He said, the Bible.
Yeah.
And they've done it over the head. They said, bring it on. But he's been wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. It wasn't like it just they seen a glimpse of him.
That's right.
They spent 40 days.
I'm with you.
And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus, while he was down here, not only did he fulfill all the prophecies that were concerning him, but after he fulfilled all that and finished it on the cross, he hung around.
Yeah, that's right.
40 days here, teaching and commanding his apostles the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them. It wasn't like it is nowadays, you know. Everything's done behind closed doors, you know, and we're censored at even trying to find out. This is just right out in broad daylight.
Thank you, hon.
Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Boy, I'm waiting for the promise right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You know, he's telling them what's coming.
Yep.
They don't understand it, but they're listening. They're willing to listen. Verse 6 says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him. I'm glad Jesus is approachable.
Yes.
That you can ask him. They asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now these are Jews. They want to get their kingdom back, which was under King David.
Yeah.
And they lost it because they wouldn't listen.
Right.
And Titus, I think 70 A.D., he took the kingdom from them, burned it down, tore it all apart.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, he answered their question. It may not have been the answer they wanted, but he did answer it.
Yeah.
He says, but ye shall receive power. And I do thank God that God has all power. And he tells his apostles, he said, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon ye, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem
and Judea.
and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
Now that may have been over their head, but God helped them with that.
Yeah.
They got this power and they stayed in Jerusalem, and God had to get them out, and we'll get to that here in a minute.
Yeah.
They did. They were scattered abroad.
Yeah, right.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, now we're not talking about CNN news right here. We're not talking about fake news. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, in other words, they're looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now they got to see this ascension. They beheld, they seen it. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, and notice, he went up. I'm going up one of these days, amen.
Right. Amen.
Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Now here's the promise of the return. They've been seen his ascension. They said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, they got quite an experience right here. They beheld him going up. They got the witness of two angels. And the two angels told him, said, he's coming back.
Yeah.
Same Jesus is coming back.
Right.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. All these continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women. I want you to know there were some women up there in this upper room.
Was.
And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That was the end of Judas. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue a Selumdai. I can't say this. A Selumdai. That is to say, the field of blood. That's the awfulest name I ever heard in my life. A Selumdai.
Yeah.
For it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein.
Right.
And his bishop let another take. And that's Psalm 69, verse 25.
Now, backing up here just a verse or two. They was 120 in that upper room.
Yeah.
Besides all the disciples.
120, I don't think it names the women. It says.
No, it did not.
Yeah.
Okay. But there was a total of 120 there. When Jesus come back and they all...
says we're about 120.
Okay, yeah.
And okay. He's addressing them.
Yeah.
And he says, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. They appointed two, Joseph called Barnabas, who was surnamed Justus of Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression failed, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Okay.
Now it mentions here Judas by transgression failed. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that the Lord chose 12.
Right.
And he said, one of you's a devil. And he knew who was going to betray him all along.
Yes.
And he said, I've lost none except the son of perdition.
That's right.
And I just want you to know, Judas never was ever saved. In John chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus answered and said, Have I not chosen you 12?
Yeah.
And one of you is a devil.
Yeah.
This spake he of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
Mm-hmm.
And by transgression, Judas, of course the devil come into Judas. He sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver,
right,
fulfilling the scripture
right
of Zechariah.
Right.
They sold me for 30 pieces of silver. But he was in on that. And anyway, they chose Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Okay, was that Matthias that he casted down from heaven or no?
Matthias that he cast down from heaven.
Okay, he was a devil. He was against God.
You talking about Judas?
I mean Judas.
Yeah.
What am I saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Judas cast himself off. He fell headlong. He went to hang himself, and the tree refused to hold him, and it broke. I don't know if a rope held up or not, but he went all the way down to the bottom, and he was a mess. It said he burst asunder. He busted like a pumpkin.
See, I don't ever remember reading that. I need to study that a little bit then.
That's in Acts chapter 1, verse number 18.
Yeah, I know you just went over it.
Yeah.
I know. Okay.
Acts chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I want you to know, God does everything in a timely way.
Yes, he does.
And it says here, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Yes.
And suddenly, and remember, Ed, we was getting ready to come to church tonight, and it's pretty windy. We come out of the trailer, it's pretty windy, but this is a different kind of wind here. Said, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
Mm.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A lot of people get carried away right here.
Yeah.
But just stay with me here. These tongues
here
are so they can reach these other nations. It'll explain itself here in a minute.
Yes, it does.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now I can't do that. I remember a friend of mine, very Bible scholar, very strong in the Word of God. He was in a church one night, and just out of wobble yonder, a guy stood up and started speaking in some kind of language. And, and of course, they went nuts, people jumping over, falling over. And he knew the language.
Huh.
And even the guy doing the speaking didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah.
And he stood up and he said, I don't know what y'all so excited about. He said he just called Jesus Christ an SOB. And like I said, he knew the language the guy was speaking.
Wow.
So when it comes to tongues, Not only do you need to, you know, use some discretion, be careful, don't just jump at any whim. There's supposed to be no more than two speaking tongues. There's supposed to be an interpreter. And if not, they shouldn't even speak it. And I will say this about tongues. You'll never find anywhere in the Bible that tongues was ever spoke that there was not Jews present. Because the Bible said the Jews require a sign, and tongues were given for a sign to the Jews. And we'll touch on that as we go through the book of Acts.
You know, Brother Andy, Cletus Bowman told a story about a woman speaking in tongues in his church. And she'd just stand up while he was preaching and start talking. And so he let it go on for a little bit, and he just stopped and listened to her.
Yeah.
And he said to her, he said, "Lady, do you know you're supposed to have an interpreter to show these people what you're talking about?" She said, "I don't know what I'm saying.
What?
Only God knows."
Yeah, she thinks that anyway.
Yes. And he said, "Are you sure you don't know what you're saying?" She said, "No, I just told you. I'm talking to God, and I do not know what I'm saying." He said, "I am an interpreter. Will it be okay if I interpret to our people out here what you just said?" She said, "Absolutely, go ahead." He just did it for minutes. He said, "This lady just told everybody in this church she's going to donate $500 to our building fund."
Hey, man.
He said, "When I did that, she turned, and out that door she went and never seen her again."
Hey, man, that's what I call using wisdom, man.
Yes, it was. Now, you had to know Cletus Bowman to believe a story like
that. I like that interpretation.
And Brother Mark, he was talking about Cletus the last time he preached.
Yeah.
Cletus told some stories that was kind of hard to believe, but they were all true. Come to find out, they were all true.
Amen.
And this story was true about that woman.
I like the way you handled that.
I did too. God told him, said, "I'm leaving it up to you to handle it the way you need to."
I was in a church one time up in Scottsville, Kentucky. I was invited there by a guy I worked with, Joe Nadell. And I was up there, and the preacher was up there preaching, doing an excellent job. I thought it was great. And about two or three people stood up carrying on that gibberish. And, they literally took the service over. The preacher went over and sat down.
Wow.
And it was no order to it. I really regretted even being there, seeing it, witnessing it. But that's kind of the way this is. People get they get caught up in this. They go overboard, and it was three women, and be honest with you, I'm glad I ain't got no dog in there. But I felt sorry for him. He just went over and sat down.
Wow.
But
he didn't know how to handle it.
There was some significance to these apostles speaking in other tongues, mentioned in verse 4.
Yeah.
And it says, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language."
Wow.
You remember, God confounded the languages there, Babel. Well, he unconfounded them right here. And it says they were confounded, but God had opened these men to be able to speak in their language. Verse 7, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?"
Mm-hmm.
And God had to get in this. They didn't have the ability to do this.
That's right. Yes, he had to get in.
And they said, "How hear we,
Mark,
every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" You see, God was in this. And they were fulfilling the mission that they were left to do. Here they are. They're speaking to these Jews, these other nationalities of Jews, and they're speaking to them in their own tongue.
Right.
And it's caught the attention. And it says, verse 9, "Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Pigory," God, some of these names over my head, "and Pamphylia, and in Egypt and parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues. the wonderful works of God. You see, God got in this.
Yes, he did.
And without him getting in this, they'd never heard these wonderful works of God. They were all amazed. Mm-hmm. They were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking, you can always count on the mockers, said, "These men are full of new wine." Mm-hmm. And even today, people mock preachers, mock the Bible, mock churches. Mock. But Peter's standing up. Oh, Peter got him a little backbone here. Peter's standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." See, he's taking scripture to defend what's happening right here.
Yeah.
And he said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, mm-hmm. and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke." Reminds me of that volcano got out of hand up there in Hawaii. They didn't know what they was going to do with that thing. "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass," I'm glad this word's in here, "that whosoever," you can put your name right there, "whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Them guys that I was corresponding with on the internet, very contrary, very critical, contentious. And I told them, I said, "Right now the door of heaven's open."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "The welcome mat's on the threshold. And Jesus is standing there at the door with a nail hole in his hand, saying, 'Come to me.'" And I said, "Y'all are laughing, scoffing, making fun, but," I said, "when that door shuts, your hope will be gone."
That's right.
All your hope will be gone. Amen. Right now that door is open to the whosoever. I mean, this old drunk 34 years ago, I still stand amazed.
That's right.
That God saved someone like me.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, man. I'm humbled. God didn't say, "You should have come earlier, son." I'm glad I was received that day. It took longer to get lost than it did to get saved.
Oh, yeah.
It took me 34 years to get good and lost.
Yeah.
It took me about 2 seconds to get good and saved.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Brother Eddie, how do you know you're saved?" I'll explain it to you in layman's terms.
Okay.
I was guilty and condemned.
Yeah.
I was convicted of the fact that I was a sinner.
Yeah.
I was convinced that I was going to hell.
That's right.
But I, one of those whosoever's, call upon him that's rich in mercy, to all that call upon him. I didn't know the preacher's prayer. I wasn't even in church. I was at home in my bedroom, 9000 Ebony Road. I was back there at the back bedroom. I'm glad the Lord makes house calls. And I remember what I prayed. I said, "Dear Lord, somebody told me that you love me. Somebody told me that if I would ask you, you'd forgive me my sins and you would save my soul." And I said, "Lord, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me."
Yeah.
Here's how you know you're saved. All that guilt gone.
Yeah.
All that conviction gone. All of that, just lost circumstances gone.
Yeah.
And immediately, I mean, immediately, the peace of God took its place. Yeah. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And the joy of being saved was so wonderful that I had to go look in the mirror. Of course, the mirror couldn't show it, but I couldn't hide it neither. And I remember going over to Bethel Baptist Church and telling them I got saved, opened my door, and they said, "You got saved, didn't you?" You get good and saved, it'll show up.
That's right.
But the Lord's all about saving sinners. The Bible said Jesus Christ come to this world to seek and save those that are lost. Paul said of a truth, Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. He said, "Of whom I'm chief." But this verse here, verse 21, "It shall come to pass." It came to pass with me, April 27th, 1988. And it says that whosoever, that means no matter whether you're black, no matter whether you're white, no matter whether you're red or whether you're yellow, it don't matter your nationality, don't matter the color of your skin,
no.
Don't matter whether you're homosexual or lesbian, I just want you to know God loves you.
Yes.
He's willing not only to pardon you, but He's willing to abundantly pardon you.
Yes.
It's the greatest thing. It's greater. I mean, I can remember getting high on alcohol. Yes. And I mean just slobbering drunk.
Yeah.
But this is greater than anything I had ever experienced in my life. I've been on a 34-year high. No hangover.
That's right.
But listen. You say, "Well, God wouldn't forgive me what I done."
Oh, yeah.
God says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, He says, "Come now." He wants you to come.
That's right.
He wants you to come just like you are.
Amen.
He said, "Come now." Urgent invitation. God says, "Let us reason together." God's a reasonable God. You know, you got problems. You got sins. You've done things you don't nobody know about. It's all right. He won't take them no further.
No, that's right.
He said, "Let us reason together." He said, "Though your sins be as scarlet," He said, "I'll make them white as snow."
Amen.
He said, "Though they be red like crimson," He said, "I'll make them as wool." That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. God is a reasonable God.
Yeah.
And the reason He came down here and gave His life a ransom was for all to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen, all won't get saved,
no.
But all can be saved.
Can
the reason
be.
Some of them won't get saved is they won't come to Him and ask Him like I did to save them.
That's right.
Peter said, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm a complete agreement with that.
I am too.
It wasn't a hit and miss. It's not like throwing darts. It's not like pitching horseshoes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, buddy, if you'll just come to Him, you'll find out He will help you. He will receive you. He won't turn you away. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you.
Yeah.
And He'll save you. The greatest thing we can say tonight is Jesus Christ loves you, and He will forgive you, and He will save you. All right, we're going to stop right there on verse number 21. I like that. The Lord.
Yeah.
"Call on the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved."
Amen.
God saves harlots. God saves drunkards. He saves drug addicts. He saves child molesters. He saves adulterers. Hey, He saves murderers. Paul was a murderer. Blasphemers.
Yeah.
He saves them all. But they got to come to Him to get saved. Not like you can go somewhere else. It's not like you can have another avenue of heaven. Jesus said, "I am the door. If any man come in, he shall be saved."
Yeah.
Right now, buddy, I'll tell you, it's a good time to get saved. I'm looking at things coming to be right now.
Wow.
It looks to me kind of like on the Wizard of Oz. Ain't a whole lot of sand left in the glass.
Mm-mm.
And Lord, we thank You for the thought tonight. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the lesson tonight. Pray You bless, Lord, those that are hearing it. And I pray there be some doers, not hearers only. I pray they do what the Lord told them to do to be saved. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Boy, I appreciate Brother Patrick.